You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Trying to make sense of the world?
You've got Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
Call our toll-free number now.
Headlines, culture, and real conversation.
And now, our feature presentation.
Here's Pete and Greg.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch with us. The number is the same whether you're calling or text, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we are going to be talking to Piet Levy, who is a music critic. We'll be discussing the Summerfest lineup coming up this, well, summer, and other musical events happening around the area. That'll be all coming up in just a little bit. Plus, we'll wrap everything up with the Nightcap, where we get the last-moment text messages from y'all and talk about what we learned on the show this evening. So stick around. We're having a really good time. If you've missed anything from the first hour, thank you so much to Bill Bertram for being here talking about the Granite Belt and all the great things happening up in central Wisconsin. If you missed that conversation, simply go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Nightlight and download episodes after we're done, and you can catch up on those every single day. Be part of that. Take those conversations with you anywhere in the world when you download those episodes onto your device. And speaking of device, you can always get in touch with us by using the Civic Media app. Download it wherever you get your apps, and you can call or text. You can be listening to the shows live anywhere in the world, anywhere in the universe. And you can also get your news there. So download that app. It's absolutely free. And finally, if you want to get in touch with us, there's a simple way as well. I guess some would call it old school, Pete.
Yeah.
Email.
Pony Express. Email. Either way.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just drop us an email, nightlight@civicmedia.us, N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E at civicmedia.us. Let us know about your thoughts on a guest, a topic, something like that, and we'd love to hear from you. So many great ways to be in conversation. And speaking of conversation, you just heard the voice of the wonderful, spectacular, I would say founder of this program, Mr. Pete Schwabba, all the way up in Marinette, Wisconsin. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
I flew all those people into Christmas City, USA. They're outside your house right now. But he's all the way.
I'm not opposed to a little fanfare periodically.
There you go. Well, that's good because they're only about 3 inches tall, each of them, so it's very little fanfare.
They're from outer space to hear the biking trails.
They're called the Grays.
That's right.
But he's all the way up in Marinette, Wisconsin, on the northeast side. I'm in the southeast side down here in Radio Park and Racine. And all the way over in Madison at HQ for Civic Media is Mr. Dom Lee on the ones and twos. And we are your Yonder Hay Triangle. Whew. That's a lot. I just said a lot there.
It was a mouthful.
I know.
Hold on,
though.
Like, it was
just,
awesome.
You know, the sound of my own voice is amazing. Just amazing. I just can't get over it.
I'm with you.
All right.
It's the perfect gig for you then.
Right? Suckers. All right. So let's get to the question of the night. Let's restate it and then let's get to some thoughts on it. So, Dom, would you please help us out here? What is a TV show that was canceled that you are still upset about? Let us know. Call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Or, you know, get in touch with us via the Civic Media app. We'd love to hear from you. All right, Pete. I know you have opinions on this one.
I've got two.
Let us know. You have two.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's not more.
I have two shows. If I thought about it harder, I could have come up with more. But Hello Ladies was a show on HBO by Stephen Merchant, one of the co-founders of The Office, the British Office with Ricky Gervais.
Yep.
Stephen is a very tall, very funny writer, and he was the star of this show. They did one season. I thought it was hilarious. He plays like an IT guy looking for love in Los Angeles. And the gags are great. The writing's great. I could not believe they canceled it. And the only thing I thought of was the reason maybe was that he's not a leading man or something. He's goofy, kind of nerdy, but it worked. I thought it was a great show, and I thought he was great in it. I was very upset to see that show go. And then another one on Netflix about the first FBI profiler Mindhunter.
Yes.
I thought that was a really good, gritty show.
Oh, yes.
And I can't think of the guy's name. He was a Broadway actor. Jonathan Groff, who's like got this angelic, amazing voice and can dance. And he's playing an FBI agent who's a profiler. It was a very good show. They did two seasons of that one, but I was still sorry to see it go.
Well, they were going to do a third season. There was all this talk about, like, if you look it up right now, if you look up, will there be a third? I swear to God, the top will probably be season of Mindhunter, because it was just ending as it was getting going, because the whole thing was, as they are investigating, the BTK killer is like on the loose. So like, it was just this huge story. I mean, it was absolutely so crushing. And that was one on my list as well, was Mindhunter.
Looked really cool. The look of the show, the aesthetics were just excellent. Yeah, I miss it.
And I don't know the name of the guy. In fact, I'll look it up as I'm talking. But
Colt McNamee or something.
That's his real name?
McCaney. I think that's the actor's name, if that's what you're talking.
Absolutely.
He played his older partner, right?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. The way he played that character was so good, because he could have just been this gruffled old, like, terrible human being, and he grows and he learns and he's better than you think. And that show's great. So
that was great.
That's your list right there?
Yeah. Just those two.
List. Dom, what about you?
I used to watch a lot of Cartoon Network, and I gotta say, I really liked Regular Show. I watched Regular Show a lot, and it canceled. It was off the air, and I got really sad. But I gotta say, Regular Show, it's coming back now, so it's kind of like, I don't know, wishy-washy. But
that had a good run, though, Dom. It was on for at least like 6-7 seasons, maybe?
Yeah, 6 or 7 years.
Sorry.
But yeah.
No, my son is a huge fan of that show, too. And it was very funny. I had a couple friends who were on that writing staff, and
really?
I loved it. Loved it. Yeah.
I never saw that show. I never saw that show.
It's worth a look.
I feel very out of the loop now. For me, Mindhunter was one of those. Although if you look at Mindhunter, they say it's over, but then some people will say, well, we're trying to get it. Like, it's been a while since season two came out, so I don't have a lot of faith in it. A show that I was upset it was canceled, even though I started watching it far after it was canceled, was Deadwood, because Deadwood just sort of ends. And you're like, gah! And then they did a movie, which was it's fine. But like, I was really loved Deadwood. It was such a good show.
That was David Kelly, right?
Deadwood? I think so.
It was David Kelly.
No, I don't, because that's the Ally McBeal guy.
Yeah. I thought he was behind that.
David Milch.
David Milch, that's it. Okay. Yeah.
Totally different guy.
They're both Davids. But Timothy Oliphant and Ian McShane, great tandem there. Love that. It was a great show, too.
Timothy Oliphant just can't stop playing cops, sheriffs, or...
He's so good at it, though, dude.
There's a spider in the studio right now, right here in my face.
Sure,
there you go, buddy. Oh, that's fun. Okay, cool. So we got our... I'm trying to think of some other ones, dude. Mindhunter, Deadwood. I'm sure there's other ones as well. I mean, here's the thing is, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip came out after The West Wing was canceled, even though Aaron Sorkin had left the show years before that. And it was a show based on a late night SNL type of show. And it lasted one season. And I think one of the reasons why it got canceled is because 30 Rock came out that exact same year. And people just were like, hey, this is funnier and better. And I was always very upset about that. And then I found the episodes online and I watched the entire season in like a couple of days. And I've been going, oh, yeah, this should have been canceled. This wasn't very good. The cast is amazing. The topics are great. But honestly, halfway through the season, it just diverts from the actual show it's based on. And it becomes all about the drama of everything. And you're like, oh, this is why it got canceled. No one really cared. And this much funnier Tina Fey show was on the air, and people like that instead. What are we doing on the text? Yeah, what are we doing on the text here?
Yeah, we got quite a few here. We got Mark from the SAC said Firefly.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. A few people said that. I got to check that out. I don't know that show.
Yeah, Luke and Madison also said Firefly. Wow.
It was so popular that they actually made a movie. It got canceled after a season. It was a Joss Whedon show, so man. And it got canceled. Then they made a movie called Serenity. And it's still really huge. And now they're coming back with a cartoon based on the show. It's going to take place between the TV show and the movie. So people will get satiated to a certain degree.
Nice.
What else we got there?
Yeah, we also have, and Greg, you mentioned this, Christy from Eau Claire says Deadwood. They canceled the season, even though they made a movie years later, just never quite jived correctly. And I think that if they would have had another season, it would have been amazing. Very true.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got.
Agreed.
We also have Chris in Madison said Archive 81 is the first show that comes to mind. It was a fun mystery slash found footage show on Netflix that was canceled after one season. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what
else we
got.
Never heard of that one.
Yeah, neither have I. We got Troy from Mount Horeb says, someone needs to tell these people that a song can't make you gay, just happy.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute. What song? I was thinking bumper music, but I realized that they're talking about the song in Watertown.
No, that was a really long title, I thought. I thought that's what
that's why it didn't last. This is a song that will make you gay.
Meaning happy.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
We also have Anna from Madison saying, I was disappointed when the sitcom King of Queens was canceled. I thought Leah Remini and Kevin James were great together. Jerry Stiller was hilarious.
Yeah.
Jerry Stiller is awesome in everything, but that show had 9 seasons.
That show had like 9 or 10, like a lot longer.
You could still lament it, I guess, yeah.
I was bummed when The Big Bang Theory, it didn't get canceled. They went off the air on their own accord, but I felt like that last season didn't do justice to the characters. It was all basically like, all right, we got one season, 22 episodes at 19 minutes apiece. We got to wrap this all up and just let's wrap up Sheldon's story. And everyone else just felt like that kind of like left in the lurch. Like if you could have said like, we're going to do one more season and then a final season and we can like make it work. Cause they would have done it. That show was a money generator.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I went off the air was because Jim Parsons like, I'm done after 12. So I was bummed that it didn't have a better last season, in my opinion.
We still got a few more here. We got Al from Madison said Sliders.
Okay.
There we go. Sliders. Remember that one.
Yeah. Love the burgers.
We also have
he just wants sliders. That's what he's texting.
Yeah, I just want food now.
We got John texting in on WMDX says Sledgehammer.
I remember that show. That was great.
That was in my opinion like a cousin show of Police Squad or Naked Gun.
Yeah, for sure.
It was
he would go to bed every night and he would say goodnight, Gun.
Yep, like exactly.
Gun would lay.
And that guy, I think, is David. Oh gosh, I can't remember. He passed away a few years ago.
Yeah,
and. He was like a Second City guy. Like he was
David Rash.
Yes. David Rash. Thank you very much. David Rash. He was, oh no, he's still alive. No, I'm thinking of the guy who played Tackleberry, in the Police Academy movies. But, yeah, that show was absolutely fantastic.
Great show.
As a kid, yeah.
That went for maybe a couple seasons. We've got on Facebook here, we've got Mike Desitel says Gunsmoke. Sean Boyce says Freaks and Geeks, another really good one.
Yeah.
Dumbest decision ever made solely on ratings. Oh, that's kind of how it works, Sean. I'm with you.
I was going to say.
You believe that? Terrible.
The show
ratings.
Makes no money. No one watches the show. Let's keep it on.
Scott Tom says Bonanza. Amanda Nimmer, our pal, says Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh, yeah.
I heard about that. I never saw it.
Another Timothy Olyphant show.
Oh, no kidding. Jeez. Yeah. And then we've got Lisa Hale. Our pal says, Firefly, I will never forgive Fox for airing the episodes out of order and canceling the show. Never, never, I tell you. I got to check out that show.
I think you'd like it. I think it's very, very fun. Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk can do no wrong, in my opinion. Alan Tudyk is perfection. So, all right, folks, we'll be reading more of these text messages and your thoughts on tonight's question, which is, what is a show that was canceled that you're still upset about? Let us know. When we come back, we'll be talking to Piet Levy, who is a music reporter, discussing this year's Summerfest lineup and Milwaukee music, all right here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch with us. Give or call. Text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on our live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. The question of the night is, what is a TV show cancellation that you still are not over? You can let us know. We're still waiting for Piet Levy to show up, and we'll be talking more about the Summerfest lineup as well as Milwaukee music in general. But let's go back to the messages and thoughts on tonight's question. Pete, what else do we have on the Facebook page?
We've got John Anthony says 24, which that was great. Well, yeah, it ran for several seasons, but that was kind of a streamer show before there was streaming, like a show that you just wanted to binge watch. I remember renting the DVDs so I could watch them continuously. It was brutal to wait for another week. Wow. Mark on Facebook, another one for Firefly. Thank you, Mark.
There's an army of Firefly fans out there.
Yeah. Here's another Richard Vargas, another one for Mindhunters. Thank you, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Beth says Space MacGyver. Was that a thing?
Space MacGyver?
She's put a picture too, like where they're in hats and it looks like space. Okay.
I gotta look this up now.
Tony Diamond says Sports Night, another really good show that probably should have kept going. That was a really well-written show.
First Aaron Sorkin show.
That's right.
It was Sports Night. It was The West Wing.
West Wing,
Studio 60, and Newsroom. Those were his four TV shows.
Brilliant.
Oh, my gosh.
DP Carlson says, Perry Mason, HBO. Totally agree. Love that show. They did two seasons, the remake of the original Perry Mason, but they made it grittier, and they covered his career before he was a lawyer when he was a PI, and it was great. And it was Matthew... I can never remember if it's Rise or Reese from The Americans who was in it. He was excellent.
It's Reese.
Reese. Okay. Boris Hamilton says Planet of the Apes, the series, 1974. I'm still mad. Okay. Brian says Home Improvement. Loved that show. Thank you, Brian. Tracy Thorpe, my pal, says Colbert. Yeah, another great one. Thank you, Tracy. Totally agree. Our pal Rich LoCascio, who Greg might run into in the hallway periodically there in Racine, says Heroes. And finally, Daniel on Facebook says Soap. And that was a good show, too. You remember Soap, Greg?
Soap was a great show. And that was like a show that was like doing really well. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of got weird and weird. And then it was done. Like, I think it was four seasons. And
right.
It had some really good. It was a really good, interesting show about. Took on a lot of different topics, and then as soon as like it got really popular, they said let's change everything, and no one liked it anymore. And Space MacGyver refers to the Stargate series. So Dean Anderson, who played MacGyver, was on a TV show called Stargate, Stargate SG-1, Stargate Atlantis, Stargate Universe, and he was on that. So people refer to it as MacGyver in space.
That makes sense. We've got here's a show too. Dave on the stream says Longmire. That was another really good show that I watched. I think there were like four seasons, but I wish that would have gone on a lot longer too, about a Wyoming sheriff. Really good. Good TV.
I'm sorry. I was like, that's the one with the guy from The Simpsons. And I'm thinking Brockmire. Wrongmire. Way wrong show.
Longmire. Yeah. A little different. Longmire. works though.
I know things. Do we have any other thoughts on that before we get out of here?
We're good on social media.
Any more text messages there, Dom?
Yeah, we got a few more. We got Troy listening on WMDX says Colbert, as well as Warehouse 13.
Colbert ends this Thursday.
It's the last episode.
It's the very last episode, so that's going to be interesting. I don't even think they were on the air last night. I think they're like, they did a best of episode. I don't know. Okay, before we go to break, and I mentioned this before, I think when we were talking to one of your friends a couple weeks ago, but he has to do a last show, and he'll do that, but why should he have to give them a show that will give the network ratings? Like, I think he should just do a regular show and be like, all right, cool, we had our guests, have a good night, thanks, and then take whatever he wanted to do somewhere else, whether it's a live thing, whether it's a streaming thing, where I don't care what it is,
right?
But like, I feel like in his situation, he does not owe them a show that will get them the ratings to charge what they need to charge. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like,
I agree.
Don't
give them the ratings.
Yeah,
exactly. Go to YouTube. Go make it a live show. I don't know, but
yeah, I know. Thank you very much. And I said that to a couple other people, and they're like, I don't know what you mean. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I don't know why I'm talking about this stuff. So. But you can feel free to let us know your thoughts on tonight's question. Name a TV show cancellation you just can't get over. You can call it in, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text it in via the Civic Media text line. You can also go on the Civic Media app and text or call us. You can also, you know, hey, if you're just like, I'll just email it to them. It's simple. Email nightlight@civicmedia.us, N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E, at civicmedia.us. But that's, yeah, it's interesting how, like, I wasn't surprised there was a lot of Firefly.
Yeah, here's another one. Luke and Madison, Firefly. Mm-hmm. I mean, yep. It's just, I really have to check this out.
And we also got Matt from Eau Claire saying Stargate Universe, Firefly was rude, but they wrapped it up with Serenity, the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're gonna keep the conversation going with our second guest of the evening, Piet Levy, who is on the other side of the break, the other side of the news as well. So we'll be talking about the Summerfest lineup as well as Milwaukee music. So don't go anywhere. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned and stay close. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. If you want to get in touch, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we will have the Nightcap where we talk about what we've learned and get some last-minute text messages and thoughts from you on the question of the night, which is, what TV show cancellation still just burns your grits? So far, it's really just been Firefly. A lot of Firefly. People really still...
That's the big winner.
After like two decades, still Firefly really stings. So, but without any further ado, let's turn it over to our second guest of the evening. He is a music reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Piet Levy is back on the show. Good evening, Piet. How are you doing today?
Hey, buddy. Great. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here. And what better time to talk about music than we're knocking on the door of summer, which means one thing and one thing only, mostly, which is Summerfest and a huge lineup coming up. What are your thoughts on the announcements made over the last few months about who will be headlining and other bands coming to play?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very good Summerfest lineup. I think, especially in the amphitheater, I mean, if you're going to judge it by, you know, big acts that kind of come to the market, come to the festival, I think it's a very, very good amphitheater lineup. It's one of their best in a long time because you've got, well, first of all, you start off with like a very special, really big get with Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
He's playing June 16th, June 17th at the amphitheater. I think those are his only dates in the U.S. This summer. Mm. And, you know, I think that's a huge thing. I mean, you can't get much bigger than Garth Brooks. It really reminds me of when they got like the Rolling Stones in 2015 or Paul McCartney in 2016. You know, he's not on that level. He hasn't been around as long as them. But at the same time, no. He is just a massive star who, you know, it's definitely a great get for them. But then when you go into the amphitheater lineup from there, they've got a lot of really good stuff in there. I mean, they've got a lot of artists that are really kind of in the center of the pop culture zeitgeist right now with Megan Maroney. She's on opening night on June 18th. You've got Don Toliver. He's going to be on June 19th. You've got Post Malone is playing, which is also a great get. They've been trying to get him for years. They got him. Ed Sheeran, he's doing like football stadiums this summer. And so for him to be doing like Soldier Field, and then this is like the smallest venue at the amphitheater of his summer tour, is really something to do that. They've got a really solid lineup on July 4th with Jelly Roll. He's really popular. And then this is really neat, I think. The first artist to headline the amphitheater who sings primarily in Spanish, Karen Leon, he's playing on June 20th. And it's just awesome that that's finally happening in the amphitheater. So just a lot of really good stuff. Muse is playing there. You know, Muse has been in Milwaukee in like almost 20 years.
Oh, Muse is so good. You know,
Yeah, they're a great live band. So yeah, there's a lot of really, really, really good stuff in the amphitheater and a lot of really good stuff on the grounds, but I think it makes it a very good, noteworthy year for Summerfest.
Absolutely.
That's great. I have some questions about some of the other acts, Piet. I love some of the smaller names who are from the 90s and that, but first I want to ask you, do we like Three Weekends? Have people warmed up to that? Or where is the general populace on the new format? Or maybe it's not that new anymore.
Yeah, it's not that new anymore. And I think if you just base it on social media chatter and people I just talked to, a lot of people don't like the Three Weekends. Or if they're a minority, they are very loud and proud, very vocal minority hating the Three Weekend format. you know, I just, the thing I hear from people is like, oh, It just used to feel like so much more of an event. And I think, like, I don't know if the 3-weekend format's as much as that, as things are just different now. I mean, when Summerfest was, for a long time, when Summerfest came through, there was like nothing else in town. Like most venues kind of shut down and there weren't any other festivals. Now there's just like, you know, we are really, we've got so many events in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin and obviously in Chicago. And there's just like usually a ton of options even around Summerfest. So I think that in itself and makes Summerfest probably seem a little less quote special. And there's just so many more festivals than maybe in the quote Summerfest heyday. You know, people, I think people might equate the whole 3-weekend thing with that. I mean, it's just the landscape is different. That might make Summerfest less special, even though I think maybe more people would point to it's not it being, you know, 3 weekends instead. I personally think the 3-weekend format is better just for me, because like usually when I cover the festival, I'm there every single day, and by day 10 I'm getting really twitchy. It's just like really, really exhausting. You know, it's fun, but it's exhausting. So I think and the staff too, I've heard from staffers, like they really like the breaks. They really, really appreciate more sleep in between. So So I'm still in favor of it, but I think a lot of people aren't, and they probably never will be.
I go back. I don't know why I care. Honestly, I haven't gone to Summerfest in so long because big crowds just do something where I'm just like, I can't have fun. There are too many people around me, but that's my problem, not anyone else's. I mean, I also imagine that, like, you know, back in the old days, on a Tuesday at 3:00 in the afternoon, there's not a lot of people there, and that costs everybody money. It costs them money to have people there. So it's probably a cost saving measure. But something you mentioned at the beginning, as far as the lineup for the amphitheater, I feel like maybe like 10, 12 years ago, I feel like someone got in Summerfest ear and said, hey, you need to bring artists who are more contemporary that, you know, younger people like too. Because I remember for a long time, one of the biggest complaints for young people were like, these are all my dad's favorite bands and I don't want to go to this. But I feel like over the last decade, they've done a really good job of bringing very, very cool bands for everybody. It's not just like, I heard the joke once, it's a Styx cover band, then following that, Styx. So like they've really changed it up.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, some people don't. I mean, it's really interesting when you look on social media. I'm amazed because Summerfest is a festival for everyone, and everyone seems to have an opinion, and a lot of opinions aren't necessarily positive opinions. And you will see kind of the common criticisms on social media. It really does feel like there's a generational divide. I remember, you know, when they book younger acts, people, there's usually the person just doesn't bother to do a Google search for who that person is, just write a kind of a sarcastic, who is this person? Like it's irrelevant. But then you'll have like younger people who again think it's still kind of, you know, still kind of stale. I think there's some people that might think that too. I mean, especially when you compare it to like Lollapalooza, you know, there are acts that are playing Summerfest that I think would do really well at Lollapalooza. I mean, Post Malone would do really well there. Jelly Roll, I think, would do well there. Alex Warren's played there. You know, Megan Maroney, I think, would do great there. Don Toliver, for sure. There's definitely stuff that would do well at Lollapalooza, but, you know, it's definitely more diluted in terms of like the hip, really now acts. But that's by design. And I think that actually makes Summerfest really special. A lot of festivals are trying to go for a specific niche audience. Summerfest is just like anything and everything. And it does make it a little weird, but I think it also makes it pretty wonderful that you could just like be there to go see, you know, maybe see someone like a Megan Maroney, but then I think that same day might be Styx, actually. You could just like wander by Styx and you can see Styx too. Like it's just so interesting that you could see so many different types of things and discover older acts, younger acts you don't know about, local acts. I think that makes this a really great festival for discovery because it isn't so niche in terms of who it's serving up.
Our guest is Piet Levy. He does an amazing job writing about music for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He has been there for a long time and just has an incredible body of work. Piet, what I saw the Bodines, love the Bodines, my guys. What are some, are there other, a lot of other Milwaukee artists on the various venues?
Yeah, there's a lot of local stuff there too. I mean, Bodines for sure. There's a lot of stuff that's like in Milwaukee. I mean, that's another great thing about it too, is like, if you look at a Lollapalooza, you're going to have a couple of Chicago acts. I mean, again, I think that's what makes our fest so cool too, is that it's like, there are so many local bands. I mean, there's 600 acts at the fest. And I don't know the breakdown, but I would say probably pretty likely we've got like 50% is like local. It's definitely pretty high. And so I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, there's some artists I really truly admire a lot that are playing. Maximiano is a singer-songwriter. They're tremendous. They've released two albums so far. They just dropped a new one that is so, so good. They're playing on June 18th on the afternoon slot. They're just terrific. Emma James is a really great rapper who does has a lot of jazz influence as well. He's just a really great entertaining performer. He's playing at the festival. You got Nile X Nile and Wave Chappelle. Those are two really good seasoned rappers, in Milwaukee who are doing a special joint set together. Mm. I think that one's going to be really special. A band called Gold Steps. They're, very much, if you love Paramore, they're right in that wheelhouse. I mean, it's just kind of old school Paramore vibes from them. And they're just so good with punk and pop punk. They're playing kind of later in the run. Gego and Noni is a local reggaeton group that's really terrific. I think they're playing on the last day. And, again, there's 600 acts, 9 days, I guess 11 if you count the 2 days with Garth Brooks. Those are standalone shows. So yeah. I can't remember 100% who's playing what days. But there's so much good stuff. Oh, and that's all stuff that's local. But you mentioned Bodine's. There are people that come through from Milwaukee. The very last day, Jerry Harrison from Talking Heads is going to be at 5 o'clock or 5:30 performing Talking Heads classics, which I think that'll be so cool.
I mean, I'm scrolling through this list right now, listening to you talk about all these great bands, and it's just it's all sort. You're right. It's just genre upon genre upon genre, and we're talking about the local bands or the Wisconsin or regional bands. I mean, talk more about the music scene in Milwaukee, because I feel personally, Milwaukee does not get the credit they deserve for having such a vibrant music scene. There are great bands that are playing at small clubs all the time or opening for bigger artists, but Milwaukee is a really great scene.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, it's just such an honor and such a privilege to be able to. I've been doing this. You mentioned I've been at it for a long time. Mm-hmm. I've been writing about it full time at the Journal since 2012. And that's not a guarantee. There's a lot of, newspapers and primary news sites in other cities and bigger cities that don't have a full time music reporter. But, the editors who hired me really recognize there is a great music scene. There's great artists that are coming through here, great artists coming out of Wisconsin that were nationally known. That was kind of when Bon Iver was really blowing up, is when I got hired full time. There's just so much great music in Milwaukee. And we get that feedback all the time from readers. I mean, we get great readership and great responses from them. And yeah, I mean, that's just a huge, huge perk and privilege of the job, is just there's so much good music coming out of the city. It's just a ton of stuff. We've just got a lot of really great things going on. There's a really great emo scene right now. There's a, country music is really, and Americana has obviously seen a big revival nationally. There's a lot of terrific acts in Milwaukee that are really specializing in that zone. The hip hop scene has got a lot of national attention from places like Pitchfork and Rolling Stone. There's some really interesting hip hop going on in Milwaukee that really isn't being done anywhere else. Very kind of super experimental, weird, fun, crazy stuff. And it's just really, really cool. And again, it's very, very Milwaukee. And it's just so fun to be able to kind of cover that stuff. And I think, people who follow the music scene, they'll go seek that out. I think what's cool about Summerfest is someone might just go on an afternoon and maybe stumble upon something that they might love. I mean, if they're open-minded, there's just so much to really kind of absorb and take in and learn if you come to this festival.
Absolutely.
Very well said. We have about 30 to 45 seconds left, Piet, and thank you again for being here. But where are the Gin Blossoms at now? I see they're going to be there. I loved their breakout album. So great. Do you know anything about them? Are they still fun in concert or still kicking away?
I hear they're still fun in concert. I think they're the last weekend for sure. Yeah. Can't remember what day, but they will be there. Candlebox. I think Candlebox is playing at the same time. Outrageous. How can Candlebox and Gin Blossoms be at the same time? That is the biggest complaint I have about the lineup for those fans.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'll be seeing Christopher Cross because I got to get some sailing in my life.
Piet
Levy is, me too, honestly. And we don't talk enough about how he's actually a guitar hero, but that's for another conversation. Piet Levy is a music writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Piet, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, all right, buddy. Well,
when we come back, we're going to be getting into the nightcap where we talk about what we've learned and hear from you on our question of the night. Name a TV show cancellation you just can't get over. We'll be right back here on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. I always feel like when I do that to sound like, hey, everybody, because it's like jazzy. Like, hey, everybody, welcome back. Yeah,
have cats you and cool. Get your jazz voice.
Yeah, have cats and cool chicks. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
I love the word hep cats.
You're welcome.
That would have been a great slang word for yesterday if I had thought of it.
Hey, hep cats, cool. Cool daddy-o. But we are on the Civic Media Network. We're here with you tonight. We are wrapping the show up right now, officially in the nightcap. If you want to get in touch with us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Tomorrow's show, very, very excited for this. Recombobulation Area founder and Civic Media buddy Dan Schaefer will be here discussing the governor's race, including the newest candidate who shows that it's not just the Republicans who have loudmouth millionaires who think they deserve the job. But that's tomorrow's conversation with Dan Schaefer. And then we'll be talking to Emerson Lehman, who is WBAY morning show anchor. I believe a friend of yours, Pete, right?
He's been on the show several times. He's a really fun guest. Great guy. And an avid pickleball player.
Ooh.
So we'll get into that as well. And he's really good at it, too.
Dom lit up like a Christmas tree there.
We'll see. I'm a pretty good pickleball player myself. So,
dude, it's on.
Yeah, it's on.
Dom, yeah. I really feel like you should take down the
confidence.
Testosterone.
Okay. All of that. Okay. It's called, I would love to face you in a pickleball match, sir. We'll see what happens and then destroy him.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I would
when you come out cracking the knuckles, like, okay, let's see what this guy's got.
Bring it.
Yeah. That's all on tomorrow's show. So stick around for that. We'll be right back here 5 to 7 as always, Monday through Friday. And it's good. That's going to be a fun show. Very fun discussions happening tomorrow, but we are in the nightcap now. Let's get to some last minute text messages, thoughts on tonight's question, which is name a TV show cancellation that you are still upset about. I've got some on my Facebook, but I know we got a couple on the text, including a wonderful picture from John in Columbia County. Dom, you want to read the last ones?
Yeah, we have Nick from Marshall first. It was For Life was a great show and ended after just 2 seasons and really disappointed me because it was starting to get really good. For Life is loosely based on a true story.
There you go.
And he also said both Stephen Marley and Buju Banton are going to be playing at Summerfest. Wow.
Yep. And then John from Columbia County sent us a picture of David Rash from Sledgehammer framed.
Oh, nice.
It is amazing. Oh, wow. And he says, I've had this for over 40 years. Thank you so much, John, for sending that to us. And
that's a fan.
That's a fan. I would have that. I would have that in my house, in my garage. I would be, because I'm not kidding you. I think that was the first time I dealt with disappointment over a canceled show because I was so young. I didn't know that was something that happened. And my mom's like, yeah, they don't make it anymore. I'm like, why? And, she's not going to try to explain it to a 7-year-old. But I did want to go
back. You got over it, though, eventually, Greg.
I never did.
Like you're reeling a little bit, but.
He told me to stop writing him fan letters. there was a text message from Mark in Prairie du Sac I did want to get to. Because this was regarding the conversation we were having earlier about essentially the slush fund set up by the Trump administration to pay anyone who has been weaponized by the U.S. government, especially like the FBI and whatnot. Mark says, right, I'm pretty angry about the Trump slush fund on the Traitors Confederacy. You might want to check out a 2015 book I've been reading, The Myth of the Lost Cause by Edward Bonekemper. That's a last name. Gives lie to their damnable state rights BS and what it's about slavery and its continuation and expansion. Thank you very much, Mark, for getting in. Sorry we could not take your call tonight. Apologies.
Yeah.
We were just rocking and rolling with the show. But thank you always, everyone, for listening and for getting in touch. Pete,
I've got two more. Yeah, I got John Anthony says 24, and that's a great show. That was one of my favorites before streaming started. And then Amy on social media says high potential on ABC. I know. Thank you, Amy.
That was canceled?
She says it was canceled.
What?
Somehow the Kim Kardashian legal drama is still on the air, though. That's what I don't understand.
That show, I think, sits at like a 6%.
On Rotten Tomatoes, yeah. But her followers all watch it, and her name on the show is Allura, and she is not afraid to show cleavage in the courtroom.
Just as High Potential was not canceled. It's been officially renewed for a third season coming out later this year. The show does a weird thing, though, where they have like 5 episodes or 6 episodes, and they say, like, all right, see you in 2.5 months. You're like, what?
Oh, that's weird. Well, Amy will be so happy.
So, Amy, Yeah, Amy, I hope you're listening. High Potential. We watch that. That is a every week show for us. We watch that. So
really?
Oh yeah, love that show. Very, very much. It's based on like a Swedish show of the same name, but in a different language. Okay. We got some Facebook on mine here. Joe McClear says Mindhunter, also The Critic. Jim says Freaks and Geeks, Mindhunter, and Deadwood. Nick says Action, the show Happy, and The Critic. Victoria, Firefly. And Katie says Somebody Somewhere, Our Flag Means Death, and she says HBO always gets it wrong. So
I don't know.
I mean,
got a good track record.
I don't disagree with that. So, but to each their own, I guess. Absolutely. Pete, what did you learn tonight?
I learned about biking, and you can drive on dairy roads and gravel roads, and it all sounds very unsafe to me. But buckle up out there, folks. Wear a helmet if you're going to be biking through central Wisconsin. Absolutely. And, of course, about our pal Piet Levy in the Summerfest lineup. Sounds great.
Absolutely. Dom?
I was just going to say what Pete was saying. The Summerfest lineup, I know every artist that's coming in, and I'm very excited. Very excited.
Nice. Last second live stream comment. Dave says Bone Collector as well. So
I've heard that was great.
Yeah. And then I learned there's a lot going on in central Wisconsin. And when it comes to geology and just general awesomeness of Wisconsin, we are billions of years of fun. That's what I'm going to say right there. So
intergalactic too.
Yeah. Multi-universe. Oh. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. So on behalf of Pete, want to thank Dominic and Tucker, Engineering and Traffic, for all they do, making sure the microphones turn on. Everyone who called, texted, everyone who was on the program, let their opinions be known. Thank you so much. You are what makes us amazing. Thank you so much to Piet as well as Bill for being our guest. Tomorrow we'll be talking to Dan Schaefer and Emerson Lehman here on the program. So don't go anywhere. There's more coming up after us, and we'll see you tomorrow. Pete, say goodnight to the people.
Good night, is coming.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.